From time to time in Christian circles, you will hear the phrase, once saved, always saved. That sounds okay, and it fits fairly neatly into a black and white view of the gospel, and you can certainly find Bible verses to support it. But then somebody pipes up and says, but what about so-and-so? I know a pastor, actually a former pastor of mine, who served for 8 years in a church and had a very successful, well, what would appear to be a very successful ministry. The church grew, people came to Christ, the church went through a building program and a relocation program. When he left that church, he had planned to move on to another church, but the arrangement with that church fell through. He was very disappointed. For a time, he took on a chaplaincy role, but then began encountering other difficulties. And as far as I know, the last I heard anyway, he was a very spiritually disillusioned man and he wasn't walking with the Lord. What went wrong? Where does that guy stand before God today? How does God deal with people who turn away from him? This is a very difficult issue, but it's an issue that the passage that we're looking at today from Hebrews chapter 3 actually raises. Now let me say from the outset, when we come to a passage like this, it is very important for us not to be too quick to judge other people. It is not our place to judge the eternal destiny of anyone. That's God's job. But what this passage here in Hebrews chapter 3 does do is it challenges us to examine our own hearts before God and to hear what God is saying to us personally. It's a heavy word, but it's a word which we all need to hear. And what Hebrews chapter 3 verses 7 to 19 are talking about could happen to any one of us. And as I read these verses, I hear ringing in my ear these words, let he who stands take heed, lest he falls. And I think the key to understanding this passage from Hebrews chapter 3 is to understand the Old Testament background behind it. And so what I want to do for a moment is I want us to unravel this history from the nation of Israel first before we actually come to look specifically at the passage. What is the warning that we get here from history? The Israelites had started out very well in their exodus from Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea triumphantly. God had delivered them from the pursuing Egyptian army. And they were well on the way to the promised land. They made a fantastic start. But unfortunately, it didn't end very well, not for most of them. In Exodus chapter 17, we read what actually happened when the people of Israel, probably 1.5 to 2 million of them, were camped in the desert at a place called Rephidim. And there wasn't any water at Rephidim. It was in the desert. And the people started quarrelling, and they were quarrelling with Moses. And they were complaining to God. And in desperation, Moses had to cry out to God and say, God, what am I going to do with these people? And God said, take your rod, strike the rock, and in doing so, water came out, enough water to be able to provide for the needs of all those people. It must have been a real gusher. But this is the word that we read in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Can we trust God to provide for us out here in the desert? It's amazing when you think about it, because these are the same people who just a week or two before had seen God do the most amazing miracles in delivering them from the Egyptian people. How he had parted the waters and led them across on dry land. Had provided manna and quail for them. Did they really believe in God's power? Could they really trust this God who had delivered them? Well, sometime later, they reached the edge of the promised land at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And when they got there, Moses arranged for each tribe to provide one person who would be a spy, and these 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan to check it out, to see what it would be like. And when they came back from their 40 days spying out the land there, they came back and they all agreed that it really was. It was a fantastic land. It flowed with milk and honey, they said. It's great. The problem was that they saw giants in the land there. And they said, "There's no way that we can conquer these people. They're too big for us." This is what we read in Numbers chapter 13. Look at verse 28. "But the people who lived there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." Go to verse 33. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We're so tiny compared with them." And then on into chapter 14. "That night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" These people who had seen God do the most amazing things are now saying, "It's all too hard. Let's turn around and go back to Egypt." They turned their backs on God, and God punished them as a nation because of their grumbling and their rebellion against him. We turn over to verse 26 of chapter 14. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert your bodies will fall, every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun.'" And then down to verse 35. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in this desert. Here they will die." Approximately 1 million Israelites died in the desert of Sinai over the next 40 years. That's a lot of funerals. Those people never entered the promised land. They never got to taste the milk and honey that flowed in that land. Now, no Jew wanted to be reminded of these facts. This was a devastating chapter in the history of the nation. And yet, the writer to the Hebrews taps into this very story in order to reinforce the point that he was trying to make. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 3. We'll read verses 7 to 11. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. And so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. You know that Psalm 95 was used at the beginning of every synagogue service. When I was younger, I went to boarding school for 6 years. I went to a Lutheran school, and in the liturgy, every Sunday morning, we quoted Psalm 95. And it begins with wonderful praise and worship of God. Come, let us worship and bow down. But then it goes on and it quotes these verses. Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. This psalm was written 1,000 years before the writer of the Hebrews uses it here in this letter. But the message is still fresh, it is still relevant. And he wants the readers of the letter to the Hebrews to take it seriously. Do not harden your hearts like your forefathers did in the desert when they rebelled against God and tested him. Their hearts are always going astray. And so God said to them, you shall never enter my rest. The message is very clear here. Don't stop trusting in God. Don't stop obeying him. Otherwise, the consequences will be very severe. There's a lesson in history here. It was a lesson, yes, for the Jewish Christians who were reading it, the time when the book of Hebrews was written. But it's also a lesson for us today, 2,000 years later, as we read this letter. And so what is the warning for us today? Look at verses 12 to 19. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This was a word to the Christian brothers. Today, we would speak more generically about brothers and sisters. It is to Christians that these words are being written. And it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. There's a clear challenge here. You see, there is a tendency, a sinful tendency within every heart, even the hearts of Christians, to turn away from the living God. And this is a word of exhortation, a word of warning to Christians today, not to turn away from trusting in the living God. Look at the words that are used here to describe this turning away. Verse 12 talks about a sinful, unbelieving heart. Verse 13 talks about a heart that's been hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Verse 16 talks about people who heard and rebelled. They rebelled against God. Verse 18 talks about people who disobeyed God. There's an unbelief happening here. There's a hardening, a rebelling, a disobeying that is going on here. When people turn away from Christ, it usually begins with unbelief. People who start to question God, who start to doubt God. Did God really say that there's more to life than, say, a successful career or lots of material possessions? Did God really say that? Yes, he did. Did God really say that when your health is failing, that your life is still safe and secure in God's loving hands? Yes, he did. Did God really say that Christ is sufficient for all of life's problems? Did God really say that we should continue to live morally pure lives? Yes, he did. Will we then continue to believe those truths that God speaks to us? Or do we start to doubt God and doubt God's word? Because when we start to doubt God, when we start to disbelieve, it sets us on a track which takes us towards hardening and rebellion and disobedience. That's what's happening here. When people's hearts become hardened, it's as though they become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's as though God and the message of God and the promptings of God no longer affect us. And what happens is that even though we hear what God is saying, we convince ourselves that we know better than God. And so we become resistant, increasingly resistant to God in our lives, and it leads to rebellion and disobedience. I can think of many friends of mine who have fallen away from God in this way. Some of these people just got caught up in a career that consumed them and took them away. Some of these people got caught up in bad relationships and it led them astray. Some of these people got their priorities in life all distorted and twisted. They didn't have any time for church because they were so busy on their weekends. They started drifting away from fellowship with other Christians. They started making idols out of their families or their possessions. What you notice is that before you maybe even realize it yourself, there's this drifting, this turning away from God. And that was the danger. Occasionally, somebody might suddenly do a U-turn, turn away from God, but far more often it is a gradual thing. It's a subtle thing. It pains me to think of a guy that I went through medical school with. Today, this guy, a Christian guy he was then, is a leading advocate and spokesman for the gay and lesbian community here in Brisbane. You see him fairly often on television. And every time I see that guy, it's as though a dagger hits me in the heart. I see what this guy was to where he's at today. I can think of three young guys that I discipled in my early days in Billawela. Young guys, keen for God, not walking with the Lord today. Only one out of the four of them is still going on. I've got friends who today are top professionals in their field. They've made it big. The glitzy world of fame and fortune these days, they're going fine. But where's God in their lives? You know, the Israelites started to drift away from God. They started to doubt God. They started to question God. Is the Lord among us or not? That was the question they asked. Is he really among us? I mean, it's very sad when you think of all that God had done for them, and yet they're still doubting whether he's real. They're still doubting whether God is able, whether he's strong enough to be able to hold on to them and to carry them safely to the promised land. They're turning away from him. And that's the danger, you know, that every single one of us faces. Even those of us who have been walking with the Lord perhaps for many years. We can hear the gospel. We can make some kind of response to Jesus. But when life gets tough, or when we get busy, or when Satan starts to tempt us, we turn away. When we see that happening to somebody, the question arises in our minds. Is that person saved? Were they ever saved? That's a fair question. Where does God fit in that person's life? I can't answer that question. It's not my job to answer that question. That's God's answer. But certainly the message of Hebrews chapter 3 is that there are many people who will fall away like this. And the clear implication from Hebrews chapter 3 is that there are going to be many people who are going to miss out on heaven because of that. They will never enter God's rest. That's the message. And I think the message for us at a personal level this morning is that we shouldn't risk that. It's not worth it. Do not harden your hearts against God. And so then, the question that we must ask ourselves is, what steps can we take to avoid this danger? And I want to suggest, as we head towards the finish of this message this morning, five things that come out of this passage here. Steps that we can take today to avoid the danger of falling away. One is to keep listening to God's word. Look at verse 7 again. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us today, and the Holy Spirit is saying, don't harden your hearts. This is the same Holy Spirit who was speaking to the children of Israel in the time of Moses. The same Holy Spirit who was speaking through the psalmist in Psalm 95. The same Holy Spirit who was speaking to the readers, the original readers of the letter to the Hebrews. It's the same Holy Spirit who is speaking to that word to us today. And he's saying, today, if you hear God speaking to you, do not harden your hearts. Are we still hearing God's voice today, friends? I hope we are. Are we hearing God speak to us through the Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading it systematically? Are you reading it in a disciplined fashion, regularly? Are you meditating on what you're reading so that the Holy Spirit can take that word and can make it relevant to your life and enable to filter through the way that you think and the way that you're living your life? Are you attending church regularly and getting to the Bible study during the week or whatever it might be? This isn't being legalistic, friends. This is protecting ourselves against the danger of falling away. I sense that the whole discipline of a regular daily quiet time is being lost today among many Christians. Whether it's because life is too busy or because we're spending too much time on the internet or whatever it might be, I don't know. But we need to be allowing God to speak to us through his word. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Tells us in Colossians chapter 3:16 to let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. So we must get God's word into our hearts. It's so important if we're going to stay strong in our faith. The second thing we need to do is we need to keep believing God's word. Those Israelites couldn't enter the promised land because they refused to believe that God was strong enough to enable them to defeat the Canaanites. Is God strong enough to enable us to win the battles of life that we are facing, that we get caught up in day by day? Do we believe that what God says in the Bible is true? Do we believe that the promises that God made in his word all those years ago still hold true to us today? Do we really believe that all things do work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes? You see, faith is being able to trust God even when you can't see exactly what lies ahead. We can't see around the corner. That's walking by faith. Otherwise, it's just walking by sight. And yet the Christian life is meant to be a walk of faith. Keep believing God's word. Thirdly, keep obeying God's word. When it came to the crunch, the Israelites refused to cross into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua were pleading with them, yes, we can go in. God will give us the power to be able to defeat the Canaanites, but the majority, the vast majority of them said no, and the people cried before God, and they rebelled against Moses, and they turned back, and they said, take us back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. And you know what? They spent another 40 years living in the desert, and a million of them died in that time. It's possible to start well, but then to forget that God has power to continue to save us and to protect us and to carry us along in the journey of life. You know, even in the face of circumstances that are difficult, circumstances that seem unfair, God still calls us to obey him. Keep trusting me. Keep believing that God is going to carry us through. Number four, this is a big one, keep encouraging one another. Look at verses 12 and 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That verse 13 is a terrific verse, and it's a reminder to us that the Christian life is meant to be lived within a community. We're a church family. We're not meant to live alone. We reminded ourselves of that this morning when we dedicated little Eloise. Ben and Tara, they need a church family to help them to raise that little girl for Christ. And my ability to be able to keep going in the Christian life is at least partly dependent upon you guys. You have a responsibility to me to encourage me. Encourage me daily so that I won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I have a responsibility to encourage you guys as well. It's hard being a Christian these days, and I sense that it's becoming even harder in these days to be a Christian. And that's why we need each other. We need to keep urging each other on. And we need to do that on a regular basis. Not just from Sunday to Sunday, friends, but during the week as well. We need to be praying for one another, encouraging one another, building each other up, rebuking one another if necessary. We need to have a team around us. You know, when you're being tempted to fall away, tempted to get involved in maybe a bad relationship, tempted to be disobedient to God in some area of life there, we need somebody to come alongside of us and said, don't go down that track, brother. Listen to what God is saying. Believe what God says in the Bible. You look around at the moment. I know that there are a lot of people on holidays today, But I mean, you notice from week to week if there's somebody who hasn't been at church for a while. Give them a ring. Flick them an email. Where have you been? We're missing you. Everything okay? How can I pray for you? You see, we need to be checking up on each other and encouraging each other more and more and more. And then fifthly, we need to keep hanging in there. Look at verse 14. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the confidence that we had at first. The Christian life, as we've said before, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not how well you start that matters. It's how you're going when you get to the end. And we need to keep on pressing on and persevering through the tough times which inevitably come. We need to keep having the same confidence that we had in Christ when we first came to faith. Don't give up. Keep persevering. Faith doesn't have to have all the answers to the difficult questions of life. It needs to keep holding on to Jesus. Well, where are you this morning on this journey? Life's a journey. For the Israelites, it was a journey out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. God was the one who had saved them from slavery. And there he was providing for them in the desert. He wanted to take them into the promised land, but they resisted him and they fell away. But what about us? We've been delivered from slavery of sin. We're on this journey heading towards the eternal rest. The promised land for us today is heaven. Where are you on the journey? It may be that there's somebody here this morning who hasn't even started the journey. You're not yet a Christian. Well, today might be the best day to start. Maybe today, for the first time, you're hearing God speak to you. Today is a great day to accept Jesus and what Jesus has done for you when he died upon the cross. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, but it doesn't stop there. It tells us that God is a gracious God, a God who wants to save people from their sin, and he's done that through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, come to me, trust me, and let me look after you, because I can guarantee to take you to your eternal reward. But we must believe the truths, and we must commit our lives to Jesus. This is how the Christian life begins. Another possibility is that you are a follower of Jesus, but you're having second thoughts. And it's as though at the moment your faith is under some kind of attack. Can I really believe the Jesus of the Bible that maybe once upon a time I did believe? Can I really trust the promises that are contained in the Word of God? Is it worth continuing to persevere in the Christian life? That's the challenge. You know what the answer to all those questions is? Yes, 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 yes. Keep on hanging on and persevering. Maybe this morning you are hanging in there. And through all of the challenges and the struggles that you may be facing in your life, you are continuing to persevere in your faith. Good on you. Keep on going. Keep on persevering. Keep listening to the Word of God. Don't let your heart become hard. Keep believing. Keep obeying God. Keep trusting. Keep holding firm till the end the confidence that you had at first, it says there in verse 14. Because those who do that will surely one day experience the heavenly rest that God promises us. That's his guarantee to us today. Look, if any of you are having a battle, having a struggle, any of the issues that we've raised here this morning, yes, take it to God, but would you also maybe come and have a chat to me or one of the pastors or elders here, because we would love to be able to talk with you further. This is God's word to us today, friends. It's a true word. It's a word of life and of hope. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we want to thank you this morning that you are indeed a saving God, and that you continue to lead people today out of slavery to sin to your heavenly rest. We pray especially today, Lord, for anybody who needs to come to Christ for the first time. Oh, Father, we pray that maybe today they will come to appreciate and understand personally what you've done for them in Jesus. We pray also today, Lord, for those who are having a struggle. And yes, the journey of life can be difficult, and our faith does get tested. But Lord, we just pray that we might come to appreciate again today that even through the temptations and the challenges that we face, even the discouragements that we face, that you are indeed a faithful God. You're a good God, and you invite us, Lord, to keep trusting in you. Oh Lord, we pray that our confidence won't waver. Show us, Lord, how to encourage each other in the journey of life, so that one day we too might attain to that wonderful eternal rest, that place in heaven that you promised to those who persevere. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning, and continue with us, we pray, in Jesus' name.